from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. This is Rahma on the mic, who will be presenting you various updates, information, programs, music, everything's taking you closer to Indonesia. From the news, we'll be continuing with quotes of the day. And also we have interesting programs such as Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Indonesian, and Music Corner. So stay tuned on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and also shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. But first, as always, let's begin with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia promotes human rights through EU dialogue and Indonesia opens opportunities for research collaboration with Qatar. Here is the complete details. Indonesia will continue to promote human rights while strengthening cooperation with the European Union through constructive dialogue and mutual respect, the Foreign Ministry said. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Fad Nabil Mulahela said on Saturday that Indonesia remains committed to encouraging open and respectful dialogue with the European Union to enhance mutual understanding. With this approach, Indonesia is increasingly optimistic that a balanced and constructive partnership with a strong awareness of human rights can continue to be developed with the European Union. The Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology is opening up opportunities for collaboration with Qatar in the areas of strengthening joint research, academic mobility, and developing human resources. The potential for cooperation was discussed during a courtesy visit by the Qatari ambassador to Indonesia, Sultan bin Mubarak al-Dosari, with the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Brian Yuliarto, on Thursday. Minister Yuliarto said in a statement on Saturday that through this joint research project scheme, researchers from both countries can collaborate directly. Next news is coming from President Prabowo Subianto, who has decided to conclude his multi-decade tenure as General Chairperson of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Pencaksilat Association, or PBIPSI. He explained on Saturday that the decision was made because his current responsibilities as President of Indonesia are time-consuming, making it impossible for him to effectively carry out his duties as the General Chairperson of PBIPSI. Despite no longer holding an official position, Prabowo asserted he will continue to support PBIPSI in any capacity in line with his commitment to Pencaksilat. Let's moving on to our next news, where OIKN taps local residents to read new capital of malaria and dengue. The Nusantara Capital Authority, OIKN, is preparing local communities to serve as the front line in efforts to make Indonesia's new capital, Nusantara, in East Kalimantan, free from malaria and dengue. Director of Basic Services at the OIKN, Suwito, said here on Saturday that this approach also strengthens promotive and preventive efforts to ensure that the new capital, which spans across parts of the North Penajam Pasir and Kutai Kartanegara districts, is free from the vector-borne diseases. The OIKN aims to reduce dengue cases by 50% by strengthening early warning systems and increasing community involvement, particularly in residential and construction areas at high risk due to standing water.
Thank you.
Environment Minister Hanif Faisal Nurofik has urged regional governments to reactivate Fire Care Community (MPA) volunteers to prevent forest and land fires amid the approaching dry season and the potential impact of El Nino. Nurofik on Saturday further urged governors to strengthen coordination with concession holders to discuss preventive measures against land fires in line with Presidential Instruction No. 3 of 2020. To support regional governments, the Ministry of Environment updates its integrated information system on peatland groundwater levels every Monday, enabling more effective monitoring at the local level. Next news is on Prabowo to meet Putin in Moscow over geopolitics energy concerns. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto is set to travel to Moscow this week for talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin to serve national interests. Foreign Affairs Minister Sugiono described on Saturday that the forthcoming visit as a strategic agenda and confirmed he plans to accompany the president. The minister underscored that the Moscow summit will address a range of issues of mutual concern, including recent geopolitical dynamics. Matters tied to energy supply and security will also be a primary focus during the meeting between the two leaders. Prabowo will mark his third visit to Russia since taking office following trips to St. Petersburg in June 2025 and Moscow last December. Let's moving on to Indonesia's Finance Minister Purbawa Yudi Sadewa said the government is discussing electric vehicle or EV incentives with regulators and industry players, with details still under review as it seeks to accelerate adoption. Purbaya said on Saturday that the talks with the Association of Indonesian Automotive Industries Gaikindo have included proposals for incentives for electric cars, though no final scheme has been agreed upon. He added that the talks are ongoing and will continue as the government evaluates options. On electric motorcycles, Purbaya said the Finance Ministry is coordinating with Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita with incentives likely targeting newer generation models. Last but not least, we have news from Indonesia. Australia strengthened ties to combat online radicalization. Indonesia's National Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, saw stronger cooperation with Australia in combating online radicalization and terrorism financing during talks in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 8. While hosting Australian Ambassador for Counterterrorism, Gemma Huggins, BNPT Secretary Bambang Surono emphasized that both nations share concerns over the spread of extremist narratives online targeting children and teenagers. Surono noted on Sunday that despite Indonesia recording zero terror attacks since 2023, the threat persists as extremist groups adapt to the digital space for propaganda, recruitment, and financing. He observed that such groups have stepped up efforts to promote violence to Indonesian youth through social media platforms. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
listener, here is The Woman of Indonesia, a special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Megawati Soekarnoputri. Diah Permata Megawati Setiawati Soekarnoputri, or simply Megawati Soekarnoputri, was known as the first female president in Indonesia. Megawati was born on January 23, 1947. Her father was the founding father and the first president of Indonesia, Soekarno. Her mother was Fatmawati, the one who sewn the first flag of Indonesia. She grew up at the Merdeka Palace, where the president worked and lived. Most of her childhood education was in Jakarta. Later, she studied agriculture at Pajajaran University Bandung in 1965 and psychology at University of Indonesia in Depok in 1970. Her career in politics started a little bit later. In 1987, Megawati entered politics. She joined a party and ran for candidate of the parliament. Megawati was elected to the People's Consultative Assembly. Not for long, Megawati became the chairwoman of the political party. During her early political career, Megawati must power through the situation at that time. The politics was tense in the country and inside her own party. Indonesia was also hit by the Asian financial crisis in 1997. It was not a walk in the park. In 1999 until 2001, Megawati was elected by the parliament to be the fifth vice president of Indonesia. She worked with Abdurrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur, the fifth president of Indonesia. Due to the situation at that time, Megawati was trusted with the day-to-day operation of the government. In 2001, People's Consultative Assembly removed Abdurrahman Wahid. Then the assembly subsequently swore in Megawati as the new president. She became the first woman to become president of Indonesia. As president, Megawati Soekarnoputri face various challenges. The post-crisis economy, separatist movement, and terrorist attack. She kept working hard as the president and not resigning. Megawati ended her administration as the president on October 20, 2003. She joined some presidential elections again in 2004 and 2009, but did not win. Nevertheless, Megawati was still trusted as the chairwoman of her political party. From Megawati Soekarnoputri, we can see that a woman can also be a strong leader. The situation was not easy at that time, but she stayed and never resigned. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Megawati Soekarnoputri. Stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is keyword of the day. No wrath is more influential than a good role model, a quote by Cut Nyadin. Cut Nyadin is an Indonesian national hero. Her spirit for independence never flickered in front of the enemy, even when she was sick. Cut Nyadin always upheld her principles and belief in Islam. That's keyword of the day from Voice of Indonesia.
dunia. Kita berjanji di dalam cinta akan selalu bersama. Kita bisa bernyanyi sunyi di dalam rahasia. Bagi semua kisah, canda tawa serta ceria, air mata dalam duka, kita masih bersama. Rajut mimpi-mimpi indah menghias dunia. Kita berjanji di dalam cinta akan selalu bersama.
Valley, located in Situ Gunung Sukabumi, is an attractive tourist destination and offers amazing natural beauty. Visiting it, you will be invited to explore an exotic forest area by witnessing the magnificent waterfall in the Green Valley. According to reports, the origin of the naming of Purba, which means ancient in English, comes from the valley area which is surrounded by ancient trees that have existed for thousands of years. Explore Rembah Purba or Purba Valley, you should be accompanied by a guide who will not only show you the way, but also explain the various types of plants that exist in the area of Situ Gunung Sukabumi as well. You have to take a journey that takes approximately 1 hour from the main gate of Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge. The journey starts by crossing the pride of Situ Gunung, namely the 243-meter-long suspension bridge. Besides that, you will pass 8 bridges with the different levels of excitement. Even though you go through several trekking routes that are not easy, you don't need to worry because before leaving, you will be equipped with safety gears. After walking along the many bridges, you will pass a path as well as through a cliff that is about 8 meters high. The most extreme is that you will pass a bridge that can only be passed by one person, not to mention the considerable height. This trip will really boost your adrenaline. On the bridge, many visitors usually will take pictures, so the journey for about 1 hour doesn't feel tiring. Lembah Purba is open every day from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays and to 5 p.m. on weekends. You can use your own vehicles to arrive at the parking area, then you will be escorted using a special bus until you arrive at the Lembah Purba post. What must be considered when exploring the Sukabumi Ancient Valley is to use comfortable and non-slippery footwear. Wear a jacket to keep out the cold air, and preferably in the morning so you have enough time to explore.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted.
such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Gesang Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Gesang Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
The history of the rich culture of Indonesia dates back to the Megalithic era, a ritual of a strong warrior that shows maturity, power, strength, and pride. More than just a physical ritual challenge, but also a sign of value, culture, and respect, this is Indonesia Lompat Batu Nias. Lompat Batu Nias, or stone jumping tradition from Nias Island, Indonesia, is a traditional practice specifically for young men of the Nias people, historically used as a rite of passage into adulthood. A success of jumping over the specially constructed stones indicates that the youth has achieved physical maturity, bravery, and readiness to take on societal responsibilities, including marriages and historically military role. The young people starting around ages 7 until 10, boys undergo physical training, gradually increasing jump heights to develop strength, agility, and technique. Mental preparation, including focus and overcoming fear, is equally emphasized in this one. The ritual process, which is the stone jump, is the key challenge. It is a stacked stone structure averaging 2 meters in height and 40 until 60 centimeters in thickness, sometimes shaped like a pyramidal monument with a flat top. The young man must clear it in a single jump without touching the top, ensuring a controlled landing, and those who succeed are celebrated by the community, and they are formally recognized as a man capable of adult responsibilities, symbolizing courage, power, discipline, and social maturity. Families may hold a festive in honor of the achievement. And that's all about Lompat Batu Nias. I'm Gatan from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Is I divide into three categories. Mainly, the first is our family environment and our neighborhood environment. So where our the encouragement from our family is very important. We still have families or husbands or father who are strictly limiting their daughters or their wives to engage in STEM. So of course it doesn't mean that the woman needs to do activity of said housing. We can also do STEM at our house, but still a woman needs to have access for science, technology, engineering and mathematics. So the support from family, I think, is the first thing that we need for women. So when the women don't have such access in our home or our closer environment, that it will be very difficult to grow or to have access to STEM. So I think the first is the family environment. And then the second is the environment of the neighborhood and also the working place or the university place. So sometimes, often we have very strong manpower, but restricting the woman engagement. So having a neighborhood work environment, lecturer environment, university environment, it's very important to be enabler for women to engage and also to be heard and also to grow. And the third thing is when women become mother. When women become mother, of course, the limitation is higher because we need to take care also of our children. So we need to also create an environment that enable us to still can contribute to STEM. Of course, there will be many flexibilities. For example, the existence of daycare or the existence of paid leave or maternity leave is very important for women. For example, say not only 1 month leave, but for example 2 years leave for maternity leave is very important because finally women will need to have childhood time. So during the childhood period is the most heavy time, one of the most heavy time that we need also support so that we can continue to engage through STEM. I think basically those are such problem, and if we can have a family support, also environment support, and we can have the childhood support, then we can grow and have access. Or the fourth one is having access. Yeah. So those are the keys so that we can have access to STEM and also develop our interest through STEM. So given the opportunity and also given the chance, it's very important for women. And women can have a lot of power because once they are enrolled into STEM, they will also give that STEM to their children and also the environment. Because the nature that woman is very caring, so it will also spread more benefit to the society.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 in 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesia.
Hello everyone, my name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. G, 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 which can be used for gula, gali, gigi. Let's continue. H, ha, H, ha, which can be used for helai, hari, halo. That's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Music Corner. Who doesn't know the legendary pop singer Krisha, whose full name is Chrisman Syahrahadi, began his musical journey when he joined the Gypsy Band around 1968 to 1969, alongside Zulham Nasution, Kinan Nasution, and others. Around 1977, he started his solo career by performing the song Lilin Lilin Kecil, written by James F. Sunda. The song Lilin-Lilin Kecil portrays a figure who is willing to become a guiding light for those who have lost their way. It reminds us that no matter how small our contribution or spirit may seem, it still holds great value in bringing meaning to others in this transient world. Well, listener, here is Lilin-Lilin Kecil. After 9 years of creating music, Krisha released a more cheerful and playful song titled Aku Cinta Dia. This has a light, easy listening melody, and tells story of love at first sight saddened, innocent, and full of admiration. The lyrics describe someone who is captivated by another person's appearance and style upon passing by, sparking a strong desire to get to know them better. Krisha also has timeless, iconic songs that will always be remembered, such as Cintaku. This song tells how love can bring peace and happiness into someone's heart, cheating a deep and romantic feelings, much like the beauty of a sunset. In 1997, Krisha released a spiritual song titled Ketika Tangan dan Kaki Berkata. The song was directly composed by Krisha himself and carries a profoundly meaningful message. Its lyrics reflect the day of judgment in the hereafter, where our humans can no longer defend themselves with words or lies. The song has become one of Krisha's most iconic spiritual works. Akan datang hari mulut dikunci, kata tak ada lagi. Akan tiba masa tak ada suara. Many of Krisha's songs have been remade by singer in this era. One of the most iconic performances is when Tulus sang Andai Aku Bisa, accompanied by Erwin Gutawa's orchestra. Andai Aku Bisa tells the story of deep regret after a separation and the longing to turn back time to fix past mistakes. Listen, this is Andai Aku Bisa by Tulus and Erwin Gutawa's orchestra.
Kisah cinta yang tak mungkin
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia.
I've had times when I don't want
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's program of English service from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any feedback to send, you can send it to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, or send a direct message, mention us on social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Follow us as well on TikTok at voi_official and subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. And you can also reach us on WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130. +62 821 2381 2130.